Baez hits a ground ball up the middle. That's a base hit. Heyward around third. He will score. Cubs lead 6-5. Javier Baez with a broken bat single up the middle. And the Cubs dugout jumping up and down in absolute delight.
And they were jumping up in a little bit more than absolute delight when this thing was put to bed just a couple minutes later. Cubs win last night. They come back on the Giants. And they're in the National League Championship Series. Wes McElroy, Fox Sports 910. Usually I bring in John Lazor, the voice of the Hokies, with one of his calls, Virginia Tech. But considering I know how much he loves the Chicago Cubs, I'm sure there was happiness last night in Casa de Lazor.
Well, not as much as you'd think, actually, Wes. That was a conflicted emotion for me during that series because the guy that he just got that hit off, Hunter Strickland's one of my favorite people. Derek Law, who gave up the hit to start the inning, is another one of my good friends. About 16 to 20 of the guys on the Giants roster were guys that came through Richmond or I've had the good fortune of being around elsewhere. So what I found going in was, and I think I tweeted about this the other day, yeah, childhood me is very excited about the Cubs and I'll be fully on that bandwagon going forward. But that was trumped a bit by the actual relationships that I've developed throughout baseball, primarily with the Giants and in that dugout. So I was hurting for those guys, particularly the relievers, because they're getting hammered this morning with good reason for their performance or lack thereof in the postseason and the regular season, but that's difficult to watch at times, particularly when you consider those guys friends.
All personal emotions aside, well, I shouldn't say all personal, but for eight innings, you thought this thing was going back to Wrigley, didn't you?
Yeah, I wouldn't say for eight innings. For about the middle four, once the Giants went up, it was fun to see Connor Gillespie do that. For people that don't know his story, he was a guy who was a top prospect coming through the system and a supplemental first-round pick for the Giants and then kind of a vagabond. Did have a couple solid years with the White Sox, but really on his second, third, last chance, you can call it with the Giants, and took advantage of the big stage. But no, to be honest with you, you know, they kept showing Bruce Bochy, and, you know, Renee actually looked at me and said, he looks like a guy going to his funeral. And I said, well, it's because he knows eventually he has to go to his bullpen. And you knew it wasn't going to be easy for the Giants, particularly against that stout Cubs lineup. But that was a microcosm, really, of the entire season for San Francisco.
Indeed it was. Hey, Cubs win. Now you can become fully invested in them. Well, in your spare time, because it's going to be a busy October. John Lazor, the voice of the Virginia Tech Hokies, who's hopefully dried out after that game against North Carolina. That was an impressive win for so many reasons. But being down there in that environment, seeing that game, you know, firsthand, most impressed by what, Lays?
Well, I was impressed by both sides of the ball for Virginia Tech. First and foremost, the defensive side of the ball and what Bud Foster was able to do in terms of the bracket coverage on Ryan Switzer and Mac Hollins. And I know a lot has been written about that since the game took place on Saturday. But it was particularly impressive to watch and what the Hokies were able to do in demonstrating their level of physicality on the defensive side and combined with Mother Nature to just absolutely take the fight out of North Carolina. I saw it in Ryan Switzer's body language about 5 minutes into the game. He got hit hard on one of Trubisky's first pass attempts, and it just seemed like it set the tone for the entire day. And there really wasn't a level of discipline, I didn't feel like, from the Tar Heels the rest of the day offensively. They didn't stay within the framework of what the circumstances were allowing them. And that leads me to the other thing that I was the most impressed by and have continued to be impressed by. I think for whatever reason, there's this misconception that Jerod Evans is this flashy type player who's out there trying to put himself on posters and put up gaudy statistics. And I thought that he played within the framework of the offense just beautifully within that game. When there was a throw that absolutely needed to be made, he made it when he needed to hand the ball off 40 consecutive times or whatever the exact number was in the second half. He was more than willing to do that, including run the football 21 times. So this is a whatever-it-takes offense that also happens to have the capability of being high-flying when it needs to be and conditions are ideal. So I walked away from that game saying, okay, I knew that this team was very good, probably better than national pundits were giving it credit for, but I left that game at Keenan Stadium thinking the ceiling is even higher than I believed.
I go back to a couple things. After East Carolina, I thought they were a team that looked like they could compete in the Coastal. Then we found that out for fact against North Carolina. And along what you were saying that about Evans, I think that's the thing that's impressed me the most, at least about the offense, and still learning about Justin Fuente, is they're kind of like a chameleon. They'll work to whatever setting they're in. And if there's an opportunity, he'll run the ball. If there's an opportunity to throw the ball, he'll throw the ball. And the same deal as we saw on Saturday, if it's easier for Evans to run the ball than the backs, like it just – we talk about always in sports, we're yelling about make a transition or make an adjustment, and we're seeing that in games maybe two or three times with this offense.
Yeah, without question. You go all the way back to his introductory press conference, and it seemed to be another misconception that Justin Fuente just wanted to run the air raid and was going to do that at the expense of every other facet of the football team. And he said, look, I'm not a football coach that needs to throw it X amount of times or needs my offense to have 400 yards of passing yards per game. I just want to win football games, and I'm never going to do that at the expense of the defensive side of the ball. And I think we chuckled and we said, yeah, that's cute and that's all good. We'll see how it plays out. And he was absolutely being straight up. He is a guy that has told me on numerous occasions, I know he said it publicly, I just want to make the defense be as stressed as possible, and I want them to be able to or have to attempt to defend as many different offensive looks as possible, and I want my team to be consistently capable of executing those offensive looks. And that's what we've seen to this point. And no, emotionally or from any other standpoint, he doesn't seem to give a darn or a damn, I guess it's early enough we can say that, about what that looks like, as long as it looks like a win at the end of the day. I know that's awfully cliche, but it's an effective one for sure.
We'll get into the mood of Fuente and how it plays down to this team, especially with a potential trap game on Saturday. John Lazor is brought to you by Cowan Gates, 11 attorneys on staff and there for you in any case. And you mentioned the defense and not playing to, and it's the Chip Kelly thing, like play fast. And everybody thought, oh, if you play fast, you score points, you're going to hang your defense out to dry. That's not the case. The other thing that impresses me, and Lays, I said this to you in the preseason, I had more questions about the defense than I did the offense. And right now I'm looking at this defense, and it's every level. It's up front, it's the linebackers, and it's the secondary that are truly playing. Not just stats alone, they're truly playing at the top 10 level in the country.
Yeah, without question. And you can't help but be impressed with this defense as a whole. But you look at the pieces that have plugged the holes from last year, and they're the guys that were forced into duty. Tremaine Edmonds has been extraordinary. Terrell Edmonds has also been dynamite making that move to the Rover position. You look at Mook Reynolds playing that hybrid position in terms of the whip slash nickel and giving you the versatility to do that and what they're able to do, because you essentially have six corners at times on the field, or six guys that you feel capable in coverage. And then you also see the confidence of Bud Foster. He had Vinny Mahota floating out and covering tight ends in space during that football game. And you have guys on the line like Woody Barron. And also the second wave that has been awfully impressive, I think, Tim Settle, Ricky Walker, that give you eight guys that you can rotate up front, and you have confidence, you've seen it at time, to rush with three-man fronts to stop the run with just four or five guys in the box, and that gives you so much flexibility on the outside and in the underneath game in terms of defending the short, quick pass spread attacks that they've seen over the last couple of weeks. So you're right, it doesn't work if all three levels aren't clicking, and they have been for Virginia Tech. Obviously, health and good health has been a big part of that for this football team to this point. And Andrew Motuopuaka, look at that, Wes. I just glossed over the guy that's been your best defensive player to this point, because he's made himself invisible due to the fact that he's spotlighting the other guys on the defense by his own play. So that's all the characteristics of a dominant defense, and that's exactly what you're seeing right now.
And you mentioned health there. Bud Foster saying that Tim Settle has been practicing and is expected to be good to go for Saturday at Syracuse.
I can vouch for that, by the way.
Confirming that, as ESPN likes to do. We'll confirm that story. We'll come back. We'll talk about that Syracuse game. And yes, there will be a lightning round, because we have John Lazor, brought to you by Cowan Gates on
Fox Sports 910.
Along with John Lazor, as we do each and every Wednesday morning, brought to you by Cowan Gates, the voice of the Hokies, Virginia Tech, Syracuse coming up Saturday at I don't think I've ever heard of a 3:45 start time, but hey, TV once, TV gets. That means you can hear coverage beginning at 2 right here on Fox Sports 910. This game is one of those games where we're supposed to say it feels like a trap game, but you're down there in Blacksburg, you know Justin Fuente, you're seeing what he's doing in practice. Any sign of him having to bring the team down a notch or, you know, rein in focus?
No, not really. I mean, I think his message after practice yesterday is what you would expect it to be, and that's just about how you don't get any carryover. The points don't carry over, the yards don't carry over, and all those things that you would expect to hear following all the wins that they've had. 137-20 over your last three games, all fine and good, but it's still going to be scoreless when you go up there. It's going to be an unfamiliar environment. Most of these guys haven't played in that type of situation indoors and on that fast track. So he's just trying to get them prepared week to week, but I haven't noticed anything within the guys. They're saying all the right things, and the guys that I know the best, I can tell that that's a truthful emotion from them. So, I think they're in a good place going into this game.
I don't know much about Syracuse this year. I mean, I know a little bit about Dino Babers. This is what I do know, is it looks like the secondary is going to get a workout on Saturday.
Yeah, Syracuse's secondary is going to get a workout on Saturday. I think it's going to be interesting to see what offensively Dino Babers is able to scheme against Bud Foster in this game. You're right, this is a team in Syracuse that has a lot of offense, and that's where their primary playmakers are, and they like to go exceptionally fast, faster even than East Carolina and North Carolina wanted to and never really was able to due to the weather last Saturday. So you're going to see that, and Syracuse more than likely is going to put up some points, but at the other side, there's just not a lot on the defensive side of the football, and we were talking about it in the previous segment, how one side just can't slant things against the other side, and that hasn't been the case for the Orange. The offense has really skewed things for the defense, and I know it has the look of a trap game and all those things, but I just don't see how the Syracuse defense is going to be able to hold up against the Hokies offense.
Trying to avoid some of those demons back from the Big East days, the Hokies up in the dome at Syracuse. Let's get to our lightning round with Lays. All right, we don't have time for five questions each, but what do you got? Go for it.
I love Big Poppy, buddy, you know that, but haven't these farewell tours become a little played out?
No, it doesn't get old for me. I actually don't mind it because I've always thought...
God, you're a sap.
I know, but I've always thought of it this way. If I knew I had the opportunity to see my favorite guy one more time, I could go to the ballpark, give him a round of applause, tip my cap. If I could go see him one more time, I'd want that opportunity. Yes, it becomes tiresome, but I know if I were a fan of said guy, I would want that moment. Debate sensation Ken Bone said he went with a red sweater after splitting the pants in his suit. One staple in your life that you came by accident would be what?
Well, there isn't any because, as you know, Wes, my image has been so polished and carefully crafted and calculated that what you see is the result of a lot of my hair, I think, would be the biggest one. I had great plans for that to continue to be just robust and wavy and thick, and God had other plans, unfortunately. Next. Pitch, my friend, is a much better show than I ever thought it would be. Why do you ever allow me to question my hero, Zach Morris?
I don't know why you were questioning it from the beginning. This is my new mind-numbing entertainment TV show, and you're right. It's actually not that bad. And yes, I said the same thing to Katie the other day. You go back. Yes, they're Saved by the Bell, but NYPD Blue, not bad. Franklin and Bash, I'm a little outraged they canceled it, and he's really, really good in this show. Mike Pereira of Fox was just on with us, and we were talking about officials and umps, and I said it's the most thankless job in sports. What job, position, title in sports would be in that fraternity of most thankless job?
Official scorer in baseball is without question the one that pops to mind first, and the guy who oversees them, which in this case in Richmond was me for a number of years. And I say that because it doesn't matter what you call hit, error, or all those different things, wild pitch, pass ball. You can go down to one clubhouse and one manager will tell you you're a disgrace to baseball because you saw it one way and you walk across the field, go to the other side and say this is an absolute unbelievably ridiculous indictment on your knowledge of baseball that you didn't see it the other way. So those guys never get any love regardless of what they do.
All right, that was short and abbreviated lightning round. Gotta let you go. We're up against a break. We'll be listening on Saturday from the Dome, my man.
Sounds good, buddy. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, go Cubbies. John Laser brought to you by Cowan Gates Personal Injury, Traffic Violations, Real Estate, Wills, Trust, and more. 11 attorneys on staff, Cowan Gates, there for you in any case. And speaking of those Cubbies,